All things are possible when the Holy Spirit is present. And He definitely is present. To as many that reached out to Him when He walked on the earth, they found in Him everything they needed. And it's the same with us today. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And that wonderful presence of Jesus, that wonderful life giver, the one we've experienced for over an hour here, He is your King and your Lord. He's all you need. With one word, your life ends. With one word, your life begins. With just one word, you come to life again. With one word, and every demon that ever tormented you is gone. With one word, whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever pain is gone. It's real. It's very real. He just doesn't come to move on our emotions. If you're aware that He is here, it's because He is. And He never comes with empty hands. He's full of purpose. And because He so deeply loves each and every one of us, He will not leave you the way you are. Every time you have these moments where you contemplate the Lord, you look as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, you are changed from one glory to another. Nothing can stand in His presence that isn't right or that isn't God. Whether that's disease, pain, affliction, sorrow, that's a problem in our body, in our mind, in our soul. He's not just the fixer. He's the author and finisher, not only of our faith, but He brought us into the world by His own hands, and He fixes us with His hands. Let those nail-pierced hands touch you this morning. Let the nail-pierced hands do what He does so well. According to Him, He was the one that formed us in the womb of the mother. Somebody had to. The mother doesn't. Somebody had to form you. Form you is a word they use when on the potter's wheel they are forming a vessel. The vessel doesn't just form because the wheel turns. If it turned too fast, it would just splatter everywhere. It takes skilled hands to come around you, to embrace you, and start forming what He is after in you. When He says, "I formed you in the womb of your mother," it's exactly what He said. He put His hands around you and formed exactly what He wanted. That's what He's going to do when something's out of normal or out of range of what it should be, whether that's pain, whether that's a degenerative back, degenerative heart, degenerative vascular system. He's going to put His hands around it, and He's going to form like He always did. And He knows just exactly what your perfect DNA is to copy it and make sure everything in your body goes back to what He intended it to be and not what the devil intended it to be. So it's in moments like this when He is here that we reach out and with one touch are made whole. It begins in our mind and it begins in our thoughts and it begins in our faith. That's His first gift while He's working, looking unto Jesus. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at your situation, circumstances. Look to Jesus. He makes all things new. If you're tired, if the situation you're in is getting old, that's good. He makes all things new. Thank the Lord Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. We're celebrating Thanksgiving. And so I'd like to just teach for a few moments on Thanksgiving. So if you'd find a place you could be, thank you, David. Having an attitude of thankfulness is very important in our life. And I plan to share some of the reasons why it would. So I'd like to start. I wrote several things down, so I'd like to share them. Thanksgiving has become the largest shopping day of the year. Perhaps because we as Americans have forgotten the pilgrims and all about the true giving of thanks. You know, those people didn't have very much. They came over. Many of them would starve to death or whatever. And so they were very grateful to the Lord for the provisions that were granted unto them. And so I just want to say that the real spirit of Thanksgiving that they had turned into what we call a celebration of Thanksgiving. And we've got the Black Fridays and all the rest, and it's all about things. And most people do their shopping for Christmas and everything else, which I think is also distracting from the Lord because it's His birthday and we make it all ours. And the same with Thanksgiving. It was meant to acknowledge the Lord and His goodness in providing for them, and it's turned into something entirely different. And so we have a real grateful heart to the Lord, not just for what we're going to eat today, but also for what He has done all year long. It's just a moment where we reflect on the many wonderful things God does. Now, some people love Thanksgiving Day celebration, but others complain about it. You know, anytime we have Christmas or Thanksgiving or family times, there's always issues. Some because they were abandoned, others forsaken, others rejected, whatever the case, there's always family issues around these celebration times. And so for some people, they complain about it. Many people have to be forced to attend a family. You have to find ways to get them to be there because they all have their life and their things. Family's so beautiful. Look how nice it is this morning in family. Sometimes parents have to go out of their way to make things happen, which brings to mind a story that I heard just recently of something that happened. It says, the day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, so you call your sister in Chicago and you tell her that, and hung up the phone. Frantically, his son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. Like heck they are getting divorced, she shouted. I'll take care of this, and hung up. Next thing you know, she called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? A sheepish little voice on the other end says, yes, I hear you. And he hung up. Immediately after hanging up, he turned to his wife and said, okay, honey, the kids will be coming for Thanksgiving. They'll even be paying for their own ticket. But how wonderful it is when God's children are thankful all the time, even when things are not going our way. I'll have to stop here and give you a disclaimer. I'm going to read a lot of this because this isn't normal for me. I like to teach out of other things and other subjects, and my mind is all in other things. So when I have to take a break and come back to do things like this, I have to actually write them down in the computer because if not, I lose track of what it is because I want to get into the spirit and talk about all kinds of other things. But let me stay with it because it is something that we need for Thanksgiving. The Lord God had miraculously delivered the children of Israel from Egypt bondage, and He miraculously opened the Red Sea. He gave them manna miraculously every day except on the Sabbath, and He miraculously gave them drink from a rock. They lived their lives supernaturally, yet instead of being thankful, they grumbled and complained. Just think, instead of wilderness wandering for 40 years, had they just been thankful and had a grateful attitude, they would have only had a short journey. They would have entered their promised land with abundant life in no time at all, because God said, I could have taken you that way, but you're making it harder on yourself, and so your faith isn't up to it, obviously. You don't really believe me that I am with you, so you're not going to be able to stand before your enemy, so we're going to have to delay this. And boy, was that a long delay. Some of them even had to die in the wilderness. You see, the difference of abundant life or a wilderness life is thanksgiving. A grateful attitude goes a long way with God. It would have shortened 40 years of their wilderness wandering had they just been thankful and had a grateful heart. We are programmed to equate our levels of thankfulness with gratitudes to how well things are going for us, of course. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that we should thank the Lord when everything goes well. He wants us to have a thankful heart at all times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. That doesn't mean wait until it all works out and then thank Him afterwards. It says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Concerning you. Concerning me. This is the will of God concerning all of us. That in every situation, that means good ones, bad ones, the ones we hate, the ones we don't like at all, the ones that we wish we never had to go through, the one God put us through, we just as soon get angry with them. Notice that Paul said to give thanks in everything, not for everything. So God isn't exactly expecting us to say thank you when we're in a miserable situation. When we're in a lot of pain and suffering, He's not cruel. He's not wanting us to say, oh, I thank you for my pain. No, He just wants us to be grateful in everything, not for everything. He chose His words well, because that's what the Scripture teaches us to do. All right, Lord, I'm in pain, but You're my healer. I don't like this any more than anybody would like it. Whatever pain, whether it's soul pain, whether it's mind pain, whether it's body pain, whatever kind of situation I'm in that I don't like, God says, just be grateful. Why? Because that's the only pain you have. Because that pain isn't taking your life away tomorrow. There's always things to thank Him for. He's not asking you to thank Him for the thing that we don't like and that we're going through. Not for, but in. In other words, if things are going well, thank Him. If things aren't going well, thank Him. If someone gave you a whole bunch of money and you're doing great, thank Him. If you don't have two pennies to rub together, thank Him. In every situation, thank God. Why is God's will that we give thanks in everything? Could it be that it's because complaining feeds our problem and allows them to overwhelm us and make us miserable? Maybe just this attitude of thanksgiving will keep us from getting miserable. In Psalm 77, verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and found that my spirit was overwhelmed. Think about that. It says Selah. Think about that. In other words, he wasn't overwhelmed before. He was just overwhelmed when he started to complain. Because I find that complaining magnifies the problem. I'm looking at the problem. I'm focused on the problem. Whereas in thanksgiving, I'm focused on God that can solve this problem. Because the pain isn't going to go away. The situation that's troubling me isn't going to go away. The car that's broken isn't going to get fixed. So I might as well focus on God, because He will work everything out. He'll put a mechanic next door to me. He'll do whatever He needs to do, and I'll be out of my problem. And then give you grace with everybody when you arrive for being late 20 minutes. So when we focus on the problem, get all irritated and angry at the problem and complain, the best thing to do is just to look up and begin to thank the Lord. We cannot complain and be happy at the same time. We cannot be thankful and grateful and grumble and complain at the same time. It just doesn't work. So it's got to be one way or another. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaint or argument. Verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse or depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. All this happens because I don't complain. So that means that if I am grateful, all these things begin to happen. What things? I become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, and shine like the stars of heaven. I'm sure glad today we took that Thanksgiving route. Let me show you how the Apostle Paul began his letter in the Bible, or most of them. In Romans 1, verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Instead of complaining about one another, complaining about our faults, complaining about something we found about one another, I'm grateful. I thank God for you. Paul said, I thank God for you. He was always thankful. Even the ones that were in his face, the ones that gave him all kinds of trouble, he said, I'm thankful for you. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, I always thank God for you. Boy, that doesn't leave a moment out of his life, does it? Ephesians 1:16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Philippians 1 verse 3 in the New Living Testament, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. We could have filled the blank some other ways, right? We need to change from being ungrateful, thankless grumblers to being grateful, thankful saints. We can do this by developing a daily discipline of thankfulness. I want to turn to Daniel this morning, and that's what I'm going to deal with, and we'll probably end here. It's Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that a decree had been published, he went home, and that decree, you know what it was, for people to bow before a statue of the king, of which Daniel obviously couldn't. He went home to his upstairs room where the window was open toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees. Let me just emphasize this. Not just when he heard the decree, three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had always done. Wow, that's quite a habit this man preserved. So if he preserved such a habit as this, I want to know why. Because most people forget things after a little bit, but there must have been a lot of rewards he found in his life. Or maybe things just went so well that he just had to thank God because everything went so good for him. And some people think, yeah, well, it's easy to thank God all the time, every day, three times a day. Just thank the Lord for everything because everything must have gone just great for him. Well, maybe. Let me remind us about Daniel. He had a daily discipline of giving genuine thanks and appreciation to his God. Daniel had experienced some horrible things, however, yet he learned to be grateful in them, submitting to the will of God and being grateful in all things. So let's observe some of the things Daniel went through, because we're all thinking, hey, if he thanks God three times a day every day, then certainly things must have gone well. Okay, number one of the things that went very well for him, his country had been conquered by another nation. Another thing that went very well for him, they were all scattered throughout the nations. Number two, another thing that must have gone very well for him, his city was totally destroyed and his family was killed. Whoops, I don't think that went too well. Number three, he was cruelly made into a eunuch. Castrated, basically. No hope of future family, no bliss in marriage. Three times a day he thanked God for that? No, it's not for, it's in. In everything, be grateful. Not for. Yet his heart never harbored bitterness toward God. Whew. Number four, he too, even though he was a godly person, had to be taken a prisoner with the rest of his idolatrous brothers and sisters. What does he do? Kneel three times a day and thank God. Maybe he thanked him that he was alive. I don't know what he thanked God for. I just know he thanked God in every one of his situations. Could I ask why? Why this lack of consideration? Why this unfairness to have to be taken prisoner and castrated and thrown into a nation where he was a slave and worked as a slave because his idolatrous brothers and sisters would not forsake their idolatry? But he had never done so, but had to go together with them into their captivity. He could have asked all these questions with indignant defiance and bitterness and resentment toward God. Yet, three times a day, he bowed a knee. Bowing the knee means he surrendered. Bowing the knee means he submitted. That's what we were talking about this morning. He submitted. He said, all right, Lord, I'm going to be grateful in all of this. You know what he did? He shaved off a lot of years. While the rest of them were slaves for 70 years, he was slave for a very short time. And I'll tell you why in a minute. On top of that, he was made a slave, like I said, number five. Yet he never let his heart be filled with resentment and anger toward God. On the contrary, he kept a thankful and grateful spirit in spite of circumstances. Number six, that is why he was granted, here it is, a great wisdom. The Bible says, wisdom was found in him as in no one else. And the emperor, the king, noticed that immediately. So instead of taking a 70-year long journey in the wilderness with the rest of his slaves, they brought him out of slavery very quickly because there was a different spirit found in him. You see, God could have taken the children of Israel into their promised land within days. But it took 40 years. Why? The difference was they grumbled and complained and had a complaining spirit. Whereas he had discovered the secret. And so he thanked God regardless why. And although the rest of them remained 70 years as slaves, he was put in power and authority and became next to the king in a very short while because they found he had an excellent spirit. And the testimony of angels of this man were that he was beloved of God. Can you imagine? One of the main angels of heaven sent to you just to tell you you're beloved of God. He's listening to your prayer and whatever you're saying is going to happen. Here's a man that thanked God three times a day, but when he knelt down, God was listening to what he was saying. Grateful hearts and thankful hearts bring the ear of God down to your situation. And where we're grateful in our situation and begin to pray and to bless God and to thank him, we've got his ear. And he reminded God of all the tragedies they were all going through and the tragedies their people are going through. And the only reason it looked like God wasn't doing anything about it is because Satan had hindered and stopped the angels of God. And there was a warfare going on and said, you keep praying because from the moment you began, I was listening and I sent forth the answer to your prayers. Why? Because three times a day I got you in my presence thanking me for everything I do. Why wouldn't I be listening to your prayer when you were in trouble? Do saints that are beloved of God go through terrible trials, afflictions, persecutions, and sufferings? The answer is yes. Through them, God is forging the image of his Son in them or us. Because of Daniel's gratefulness, he had become very wealthy, powerful, influential in the courts of the king. In spite of all of trials, you could say that an attitude of thankfulness will bring you success. You see, nobody else had that success. He had money, he had wealth, he had position, he had authority. He was just one like the rest of them. Why? Because God put an excellent spirit in him. What do you think made that? Three times a day, thanking God in everything, good, bad, and indifferent. I just thank you because you're God. I thank you because you're beautiful. I thank you because you're wonderful. Jesus hadn't even come yet. I thank you because you made us your people. I thank you because you correct us. I thank you because we're going through our spanking because then everything is set right. You promised us a spanking we wouldn't change. I know I did it right, but the rest of the people didn't. You know, he had an excellent spirit in him because he was willing to go through it thick and thin. We're here this together. We want to be there. Praise the Lord for that. Number 7, yet even so, his problems were not to end. Some men were jealous that Daniel's life and position in the kingdom that he had gotten with the king stirred them to mighty jealousy. They came up with a plan to remove Daniel. They had the king make a decree that anyone who prayed to a god other than the king would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel was well aware of this decree, but because of his habit of being grateful and thankful three times a day, he wasn't going to change that, so he just went ahead and continued doing it. You know the story. He was seen praying and was thrown into the lion's den. However, the Lord shut the mouth of the lions and Daniel was delivered. Thankful hearts shut mouths of lions. Are you tired of the devil lying to you? Are you tired of that condemning voice always pointing at failures in your life? There's only one thing that shuts the mouth of lions, and that's being grateful. Afterwards, the king decreed that Daniel's God was the real God. And then the king blessed Daniel. A king blessed Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It said he prospered. Can you imagine that? When everybody else was slave working. You don't pay slaves, you know. You work like a slave, but really don't get paid for it. But while they were in that condition, with all their grumbling and complaining, it says here Daniel was prosperous and got rich, and was given favor with the king. What is the only difference here? The only difference is that he had an attitude of gratitude. That was the only difference. So are we facing a lion's den today? Are there things that are about to devour us? If so, then shut the mouth of lions with a grateful heart of thankfulness. I want to finish with something that was written in history. It was said that Rudyard Kipling was a great writer, a poet who had opportunity to enjoy his financial success while he lived. Once, a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money that you have made from all your writings amounts to over $100 per word you have written. So Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill, gave it to Kipling, and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now, you give me a $100 word." Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." He's right. The word thanks is certainly worth at least $100. In fact, it is more like a million-dollar attitude. Thank you, Father, for your word. Today, many of us might be in situations. We want to thank you and have a grateful heart because we're grateful to you for all your provisions and your grace and love to us. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.